usually when I go back there after song services to put the microphone on, but I get so caught up in that song, I forgot to put it on. So, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight. Again, we do love you and praise you and trust you and ask you to bless each one here in a very special, powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. All right, beginning in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, and that is, of course, it's talking about the day of God and heaven and so forth. Looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, or by him in peace, without spot and blameless. So interesting wording there, to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Also, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the... So what is Peter saying about Paul's writings there? They're what? What are they? They're Scripture. Peter is calling Paul's word Scripture there, which is really interesting. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, and before I wrote this to you, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, verse 17 says that it is possible to be led away by the error of the wicked. And, of course, you know, referring to those that twist the Scriptures in the previous verses, this is why it's very important for believers to try to spend a little bit of time in the Word of God studying and making sure that you can't be led away by error. And, you know, there are many, many errors being taught all over today, and some of them are mainline, what you might consider mainline churches, many errors being taught in many mainline churches, and some on the radio, even some very popular radio speakers and teachers on the radio are making fundamental mistakes regarding the gospel, and they are adding something to it all the time. You can put on the radio at any given time. I was listening today to one of my favorite Christian stations on the way over to the office for a few minutes. I just put the radio on real quick, and I heard somebody that I thought was pretty sound say something that was pretty stupid. And it's just, it's this continual temptation to add to the gospels with the law, and to intermingle the law which was given to the Jews with some type of structured religious experience geared at the church, and telling the church you must do in order to be blessed. You must do in order to please God. You must do something in order to please God. You must do something to stay in His graces. You must do this or do that or do this. And boy, oh boy, you know, do. And it's do is what it is. It's do. It is. And so the problem is the cart is continually put in front of the horse, and the power of salvation is minimized, because I just want you to think with me tonight, the little phrase here that says, the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. I love that. I read that this afternoon. I thought, this is amazing. It's what Jesus Christ did on the cross alone, which is how I'm saved. Do you all understand that? I can't add a single thing to his long suffering. I can't add a single thing to the work of Calvary. And it was absolutely enough for God to look at a wicked sinner like me and then, through the eyes of the cross, be able to give me mercy without me ever doing a single thing to earn it. See, that is the gospel. And when the gospel is, the power of the gospel is minimized, this is what I mean by that. When you become a believer by receiving Christ, by believing that He died for your sins as your substitute, when you become a believer, you get a new life. You become a new creature. You get an indwelling spirit. And a God who now says that He is for you, what or who can be against you? That power is the transforming power resident in every one of us that Peter refers to earlier on in a different book he wrote here in the 1 Peter, where he says that we have received all things that pertain to life and godliness. We already possess them. Chapter 1, same book, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let me ask you a question. Why do people say they're waiting for the miracle? It already came. I'm waiting for God to deliver me. I'm waiting for God to work this thing in my life. Now, I want you to understand something. Yes, there is a process for growing, and every one of us are in it. It takes time. All of us want to grow in grace and in knowledge. That's what we read a minute ago. We want to be more peaceful. We want to be more gracious. We want to be more loving. We want to be filled with faith. I was thinking about it today. I was talking about something with my wife in the car on the way back from Massachusetts. And just, I want to learn to be filled with faith, an expectation from God that's a faith-filled expectation that really believes that God is faithful, that He can be trusted, not only that, but that God is powerful and for us and really, really is going to do the things He's promised us to do and never leave us or forsake us. I want to be filled with faith, right? Now, that doesn't happen like that. It's a process God takes us through. But I don't have to wait for something external to happen to have that growth begin. Because 2 Peter says, I've already been given the things that pertain to life and godliness. I have what I need to do that. There's a whole teaching today, and that's what I heard today about, it's the second blessing. This is the most astounding one of all, that you know, I've got to wait, once I become a Christian, I have to wait to receive the Spirit of God. I have to pray to receive the Holy Spirit. And what they do, they look in the book of Acts and they say, okay, they were believers waiting on the Lord and then they received the Holy Spirit. They were believers and then, Acts 2, they received the Holy Spirit. Then another group was believers, and then they received the Holy Spirit. And what people don't understand about the book of Acts is the book of Acts is a transitional book that describes the birth of the church and the introduction of the other people groups to the church. And God did that in a way that the Jews would see that God did the same thing for the Gentiles, the same thing for the Samaritans, and they were all added to the church. But there's a doctrine called the doctrine of subsequence. And the doctrine of subsequence means, well, first I become a believer, but I don't have any gifts. I have to wait for God to give me His Holy Spirit. I got to pray. spiritually position myself, and then maybe the Spirit of God will come, and when he comes, maybe I'll get the gift of tongues, maybe I'll get a gift of healing, maybe I'll get a gift of faith, maybe I'll get some other gift from God, gift of helps, gift of service, whatever. But see, the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians that I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am. And I've received everything I need for life and godliness. Now, why would Peter say that if there was something missing as important as the Holy Spirit for the saint? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Hello? By the way, God isn't like schizophrenic like some people in this room, dual personalities. You know, when Christ came into my life, I got the whole package. You know, I was sealed with it to the day of redemption by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God indwelt me the moment I believed. Everybody understand that? So there's not a doctrine of subsequence. But here, see, this is where it gets kind of sneaky in our church and with churches like ours. See, we don't believe that we get the Holy Spirit second, but then we get confused about this thing called be filled with the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, wait a minute, am I filled with the Spirit of God? Because Paul told the Ephesian church, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, or in which is dissipation. I think the King James says, which leads to debauchery. In other words, which totally malaligns behavior, which completely affects behavior. How many have ever been around someone who's drunk? That alcohol has an effect on people. It'll affect your words, your thinking, you know, your morality. All those things are affected profoundly by the drinking. Well, guess what? Paul's comparing that to the Spirit of God and saying, you know, when the Spirit of God controls somebody, their thinking has changed. Thinking. Right? Their actions, their morality, their behavior, their self-control, all that is possible by the Holy Spirit. But Paul says, be filled by the Holy Spirit. And people don't take that time to look at the Greek words, because this is not about a substance being poured into a container filled, like a glass of water being filled. See, you in that sense, you and I already possess the Spirit of God in our bodies. The word for fill there is pleroma in the original language, or pleroo. And what it means is a completion of a deficiency, or to fill up that which is lacking. And here's an illustration of it used in another place. You remember those ships in the movies where they have slaves down in the belly of the boat and they're all rowing together and there's like 20 rows sticking out one side, 20 rows sticking out the other side? Pleroma means all the oars are moving at the same time with the same force. That's kind of the word being illustrated, right? So if you got a couple of the oarsmen gone on one side, the boat's going to go in one direction. If some of the oarsmen are missing on the other side, the boat's going to go in the other direction. But the oars are there, you know? And so the deficiency would mean you don't have all your oars in the water. And some of you may not have all your oars in the water. It doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. It just means that you're not rowing at full capacity with God yet. You know, you're not at full capacity with God. You haven't allowed the Lord, and I'm the same way. We have to learn to allow God full capacity, full rowing capacity in our life. In other words, control. Control. Pleroma, to fill the deficiency. And I create a lot of those deficiencies when I don't surrender control. Control. I like to be in control. How many of you like to be in control? How many of you know when you're in control, it's a disaster? But you still like to be in control. See, that's called the mystery of iniquity. You know, I like being in control. I do. This is a problem with me. I like to be in control. But when I'm in control, disaster. I'm not talking about responsibilities. We have responsibilities. You should take control of your finances and be in control of those. You know, I'm talking about you know, when you got a situation, you're trying to manipulate the whole thing. You know, that's disastrous when you do that. You just have to take your hands off, you know. Like Uzzah, they tried to move the ark, and this guy, they shouldn't have been moving it on this cart anyway, but the ark began to wobble, and this guy, Uzzah, reached forward and tries to steady the ark, and God struck him dead for trying to control what was happening. So, being filled with the Spirit of God, this isn't something that is a, because you need the Spirit of God. And I said this in one of the raps, I said, we don't need more of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God needs more of us. That makes sense? Paul, that makes sense? So we don't need we don't need more of the Spirit. Oh, Father, I remember praying that when I was a new believer. God, I need more of your Holy Spirit, please. Things are going badly. I'm doing bad things because I don't have enough of your Spirit. It's your fault. You're withholding. You know? No, God hasn't withheld anything. God's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's no excuses. But being filled with the Spirit of God. And so people say, well, how do I do that? Do I just kind of, you know, lay on the floor and wait for the Spirit of God to control me? You know? How does the Spirit of God exert His influence on us? Well, you read in this verse in Ephesians 5:18, it says, don't be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, what's the result of that? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so, yes, it's a result of being filled with the Spirit of God. These are also not only effects, but how we affect the filling of the Spirit of God, what the impact is. How do I surrender control to God? By making a decision to sing spiritual songs when I feel like something else, when my emotions feel like screaming, you know, or when I want to sing a sad song. I don't know. Ever get in your car and you're in a certain mood and you put on those old tunes and you listen to them and they kind of stroke your emotions, you know, those old, maybe it's a love song or maybe it's some other song and you're getting all depressed, you know. It's a decision to change the channel and to put on spiritual songs or hymns. The same thing is true in the mind and emotions. See? The decision made to give control, spiritual songs, singing and make a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and look, it continues. Submitting to one another. You think submitting to one another has something to do with being filled with the Spirit of God? Can I say I'm filled with the Spirit of God if I'm not submitted to one another in the church setting or if I'm not accountable to people? No. Even if I look at this passage as this is the result of being filled with the Spirit of God, then the measure of being filled with the Spirit of God would be that I'm submitted to one another. So if I'm having a hard time submitting myself to other people or being around other people, and by the way, submitting to one another doesn't mean I do what everybody tells me to do. I'm everybody's slave. Submitting to one another means I'm available. I'm available in my fellowship. I'm available in my calendar, and I'm also accountable for my actions. And I'm willing to let people speak into my life. That's what being submitted to one another is. Are you willing to let somebody speak into your life? Hello? You ought to be. You have to be. If you want to live a godly life, I suppose I ought to be submitted to one another. And here's another thing. Look at this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husband is head of the wife. Christ, head of the church, he's the Savior of the body. What's he saying here? He's pointing to the order of authority in the home to illustrate being filled with the Spirit of God. I need to be under authority and submitted in order to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's one angle Paul is taking here in this passage to express what the filling of the Spirit of God looks like. So you got somebody running around saying, well, I'm just being filled with the Spirit of God. Do you go to church anywhere? No. Are you submitted to anybody's authority in your church? No. You have your own ministry? You went on your own? There's division there? Yeah. But I'm filled with the Spirit of God. No one else is filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? What is that? That somebody has a funny idea what being filled with the Spirit of God is. So there's a parallel passage to this, which means it kind of looks at it from a different angle, and it's in Colossians. Turn to Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 16. Shout amen when you're there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Boy, that looks a lot like the other passage, doesn't it? Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Boy, that looks a lot like the other passage. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. Boy, that was in the other passage too. Hey, look at this, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. That was in the other passage. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Then it even goes on further. And it says, hey, employees, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye servants as man-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for all he does. There is no partiality. All right. You see how these verses are really parallel to one another? They really talk about the same results and the same effects. So I could literally look at this and say, you know what the main connection is here about being filled with the Spirit of God and being under the control of the Spirit of God? I make the connection by what it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So there's a communication aspect of the Word of God, which is how I'm filled with the Spirit. And if you're wondering, well, how can I make this connection between the Word of God and the Spirit of God? He is called in John 16:13, the Spirit of Truth. And when he comes, what will he do? What will the Spirit of Truth do when he comes? John 16:13. Look at it. What's he going to do when he comes? Is he going to make people fall on the floor? He will guide you. What? How? How will he guide you? What does that mean?
He knows everything. He knows what's going to happen.
I want you to look at this and answer this question. How will the Spirit guide you? Say it out loud. What's the word used in the Bible here? Truth! Right? How does the Spirit of God guide people? So how would the Spirit of God then control or fill up the deficiencies in people's lives? The Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. See? So this, I want to take some of the mystery. Let me rephrase that. I don't want this to seem so mysterious to everybody. There's a mystery in this. And the mystery is that the God of heaven could indwell a human and guide him at all. But how does God do that? He does it through His Word. So if I read the Word of God, and God is directing me. Now listen very carefully, because here's where God gets pushback. How many ever get pushback at work? You ever get pushback, bring up an idea? What does pushback mean? They fight it, right? I'm getting pushback. Once in a while, I'll say to Menzel, getting a little pushback. Or somebody will say to somebody, I tried this idea, but I got a little pushback. Pushback means not accepted, rejected, resisted, right? Here's where God gets a little bit of pushback when he says, if you're obedient to the word, that is the Spirit of God. That's the means that the Spirit of God controls us. To be filled with the Spirit of God, I cannot say that's true if I'm being disobedient to the word. Makest thou sense? Does that make sense to you? How many of you see that? But I mean, don't just raise your hand. You see it the way I just taught it. Raise your hand up in the air. I want to just make sure. Okay, so some of you aren't raising your hand. Does that mean you don't see it or you just don't want to raise your hand? Because I want to make sure you get this. I really do. I'm not being sarcastic here. Okay? If you understand that you're filled by the Spirit of God, by the word of God directing you and guiding you. I have to be obedient to God's word to be filled with the Spirit. Raise your hand. You understand that? Okay. My work is done here. No. All right. So that's it. Now, Peter says one other thing I want to look at in 2 Peter. Verse 18, but grow in grace and knowledge. See that? Let's say that out loud, just that little phrase I just read. Grow in grace and knowledge. Okay, let's start with knowledge first. How would one grow in knowledge? How else? What else? How about taking classes? How about a good devotional? How about using your Blue Letter Bible? How many of you use the Blue Letter Bible? I love that little app. What a great app that is. Run the phone, boom. I'm like a Greek scholar in 20 seconds. Can find those Greek words, look them up. So it's a great app, the Blue Letter Bible, and best of all, it's free. By the way, they ask you once in a while to make a donation. Make one. It's a Bible play. They're spreading all over the place. Millions of people using this app now. Millions. Why not support that? You can do $2, $5, whatever you want to do. You can give them a little something. So anyway, the Blue Letter Bible. So having that on your phone even where you're thinking during the day, hey, what does that mean that I have access to God in Romans 5? By grace access. Look up the word access. Boom. Wow. Interesting. And then you know what happens when you look up a Greek word? It's usually in English, the definition. And then you can start thinking about what the word means, and I'll guarantee you, or your money back, I will guarantee you, you'll start thinking about other verses that you've heard when you read that Greek word, and you'll start connecting thoughts. That's how you grow in knowledge. Try it. I dare you. I dare you. Look up a Greek word this week. Find out a Greek word. Like, let me give you an example of a Greek word, right? In James chapter 1, verse 21. James 1:21. It says very simply, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to deliver your soul. So, many years ago, I took out a Vines Expository. Now, Vines Expository will take an English word found in the Bible, and it will show you all the Greek words used for that English word, and where the Greek word is used, and the definition of the Greek word. So, the word receive is very interesting, because there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 13 different Greek words translated into the word receive in the English Bible. Yes, that's what I said. Wow. And then I said it backwards. Wow. The first one is apodekomai. Apodekomai. And this means appreciatively and heartily welcome. Then there's hupodekomai, which means that I'm under authority. The word literally means a roof, that I'm under the roof. And I've been received under the roof of another person into the home. Hupodekomai. Then here's an interesting aisdekomai. Aisdekomai, which literally means deeply received or welcomed deeply, which is a very emotional word for received. Isodekomai. Then there's epidekomai, which means upon. The receiving is upon you, like you've received something upon you, like a jacket. Then there's diadekomai. This is to receive in order to have something happen. There's something happens when you receive this thing. Anadekomai. This means I receive something which completes a process. And then huperlambano. Huperlambano. Wow, that even sounds fun. This means to take something up or to gather it up and bear it. Maybe it's having to do with crops, probably in agricultural use. Lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O, to actively lay hold on or aggressively lay hold on something to receive it, aggressively grab something, lambano. Ekdekomai, no, or ekdekmai, not O, the O is gone, ekdekmai. This means from out of, waiting to get the results of something. Then there's a really weird one, hupolenion, which means to be put under a wine press. This is the receiving vessel under a wine press. So it's something squeezed out, and then it's received. Zenizo, X-E-N-I-Z-O, Zenizo. This means to entertain or to receive a guest. Choreo, C-H-O-R-E-O. This is making room in advance to receive a guest. And then kamizo, K-O-M-I-Z-O. This is to receive back something that once belonged to me already. So do you see 13 different words for one word, receive? That's why the Greek is so important, to look up the word and get the full understanding. But do you see how all those different descriptions means something totally different. So you could be reading along, oh, something, something, and received him into the presence, blah, 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 blah. You could go right past it and miss the richness of a passage because you didn't look at the Greek word. That's why that blue letter Bible, which is free of charge, and it's easy to use. You open it, you just find Old Testament, New Testament, pick the passage, you click on the passage, boom. Then you go to interlinear up top. And it'll take you right to the Greek words, the entire passage, all the Greek words, the Strong's letters and numbers, and you click on that, and it'll give you the Greek word, the definition of every place that Greek word is found. So really, it's like a Strong's and an Englishman all in one thing. The Englishman's was the reverse of the Strong's. I don't want to confuse anybody, but great app to use, Blue Letter Bible. And I'm not even making any money on this. But download the app tonight. Get home, download the app if you don't have it, if you have a smartphone, which almost everybody does. If you don't, you can put it on your computer or just open to the website. You don't even have to download it. You can use it right from your computer. Beautiful. Or your laptop, your tablet, or your PC, if anyone uses a PC. Huh? So now there's your Greek word. You say, well, okay, which Greek word is here? Is it dekomai? So now Raquel is going to demonstrate. She's going to look up first. She's going to look up James 1:21, and she's going to tell us which Greek word is there. Dun 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 dun. Sing with me. Dun 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 dun. Yes. By a consonant. James 1:21. There's also, I believe, he's going to beat you up. Isn't the receive and huh? Right. And in 16, is lambano in 16? Just out of curiosity.
I know it's in Philippians 3.
Dekomai. Now, the thing about dekomai is always used in the middle voice. And now this is kind of interesting too. The middle voice means that the one doing the action gets the benefit. Now think about receiving the Word of God. The one receiving it gets the benefit. Now, if I receive Harry, who gets the benefit? If I receive Harry over for dinner, who gets the benefit there? Harry. Who gets the benefit? B. Oh, I love this church. I really love this church. Oh, my gosh. But dekomai, the one receiving, the one doing the action, gets the benefit. Middle voice. Isn't that cool? Now, if you go to James 1:16, you'll see a different expression here. And I didn't have the topic tonight is really being filled with the Spirit of God, but I just wanted to encourage you in studying and looking up Greek words. So I just want to go down this little bunny trail here with you. Don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift from above comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. Is lambano in that verse? James 1:16. It is not. All right. Just was curious. Okay. So, you know, the part about this that's the most fascinating to me. What? No. I was wondering if lambano was anywhere in that passage other than... No, it's L. Lambano. All right. So... Yeah. Okay. Pneumonia. P as in pneumonia. Receiving God's word is so important. And receiving it with meekness is important. And the word receive with meekness, the engrafted. Now, King James says engrafted. Terrible translation. What does yours say, the NSAB? James 1:21. Quickly. You still don't have it? I was going to ask you for... Huh? Implanted, that's better than engrafted. Yes. And it means the soil is broken up and the seed is pushed down into the soil. So implanted means something that I receive in. Receive with meekness the implanted word is what's being said. A word that's implanted in my soul. See, that's able to deliver me. Now, if I just hear it, but I'm not receiving it with meekness, you know, with a spirit of a predisposition of receptivity, I want this, God. I'm humbled by you, and I want to receive the word of God with meekness. That will deliver me. But if I'm just a casual hearer, I'm not going to be delivered from anything. I can hear God's word all day long in my ears, but if it's not implanted and received with meekness, there's no delivery. Kabish? Have we got that? Yes. It is in there. I knew it. I had the wrong one. So 12? All right. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he will receive. Lambano, the crown of life. And then verse 17? 7. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Lambano. Now, lambano is an aorist active indicative. Yes. Yeah. L-A-M-B-A-N-O. Lambano. Aorist active indicative. Spyros Zodiotis said this about this, because I remember Dr. Stephen used to always talk about the aorist active indicative. And he said this. This is a completed action viewed as completed with present continuing results. Huh. Look at that. And if you apply that in those verses, it'll blow your mind. But see, having the right word looked up, understood, defined, lambano, this means to actively and aggressively lay hold of. Let not that man suppose he will aggressively lay hold of anything. He won't have anything complete in his life. His life will remain incomplete. Verse 7. But the one who is approved, in verse 12, who's endured temptation, he will actively and aggressively lay hold on that crown of life, and it'll be completed at that time with continuing results in all eternity. Amazing. So, grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit of God. It's all related. As I grow in my knowledge, I understand God's word, I see it, I can visualize it, because a lot of the Greek words visually give me a word picture. The Greek language is rich like that. You know, imagine the receiving of something, like to receive into the home, or something that you can actually picture in your mind happening as you learn the word of God. It's awesome. Dekomai. Dekomai. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Dekomai. Heartily welcome. Dekomai. All right. Heartily welcome the word of God. Beautiful. All right. Now, receive what Christ has said and what Christ has done. Receive what Christ has said, what God has said, what God has done. Receive that. Believe that. And as a result, you grow by faith. You grow in your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. The Spirit of God begins to control you. See, this is a beautiful thing. Now, one last thing is, if I'm controlled by the Spirit of God, what's not going to happen? Huh? All right. Think about Galatians for a minute. Where might I find something about this? If the Spirit of God is leading me, what will not happen? Let's look at Galatians 5. Go in Galatians 5. There you go. What's it say, Lair? So walking in the Spirit. Now we describe what it means to be filled with the Spirit. We see the relationship that the Spirit has with the Word of God, right? If the Spirit leads me into all truth, then what does walking in the Spirit mean? Walking in the truth. Or what John called walking in the light, right? So if I'm walking in the truth and I'm walking in the light, I won't what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. See? And then it kind of describes what those are. See, this is why, so now you just see something about the Spirit of God in another passage, and we just thought about this. The Spirit of God guides me into all truth. That was what Jesus said in John, right? John 16, 17. Now I looked at Ephesians 5, 8 and see, be filled with the Spirit of God. This happens, okay? Then the Word of God is dwelling in me richly. This happens. All right, good. Now I can understand being filled with the Spirit of God, being walking in the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, all has to do with submitting to God and letting God lead and guide me through His words. Make sense? To poorly illustrate it, I would say, Paul, please stand. Please stand. Now, did Paul have to stand? No. Did he? How did I lead him just now? How did I lead him?
Please.
No, not please. Andy, with my words. I just asked him. So I said, Paul, go out into the aisle. I'd like you to go to the right and not to the left.
You're right or his.
There you go. All right. Now, I can say, Paul, go to the back of the chapel. You know, and if in a believer that is listening and hearing the word of God, he's going to be led like that. Everybody understand that? You can sit down, Paul. Thank you. In a few years. Now, with that, I just want to read Psalm 32, and then we'll close this. Verse 8 and 9. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. How many men knows what it's how many men know what it means when the wife guides you with her eye? Yeah. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. See, this is the contrast to be, and we talked about this in the last couple of weeks, brokenness, right? When a horse is broken, what does that mean?
It means
you can ride it. It's submitted, right? Its will has been submitted to the one caring for it, see? And when we realize God cares for us, and boy, he does, and he demonstrates that over and over and over again, you know, you can think about the cross, you can think about the friends God's given you, how often God's word has been faithful to touch you right when you need it. We know the one who wants to lead us, right? It's not some dictator who has his own interests at heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah that he has an expected end for us, and he wants to lead us and guide us that way because it's a good end, and it's for our benefit, right? So thankfully, that's how God communicates to us. And brokenness means I'm willing to be led. I'm willing to be guided. You know, we think of brokenness sometimes as I'm going to walk around all day long, tears streaming down my face. Oh, God, that's not broken. Brokenness means my will is submitted to God's now. And boy, it takes a lot for God to get us there sometimes. But this is what he's after. And when he's caring for us and demonstrating his love for us, that becomes easier to let him lead. And the way he does that is through his word. Amen? Everybody understand this? Okay. Thank you, Father, for this time tonight. We do pray you bless these words to our hearts. This simple passage, this simple message tonight. But we do ask you, Lord, to help us to love being led by you, to love hearing your word, to love your spirit. Because we hate where we go without you. We hate where we walk without you. We hate the result of not being filled with the Spirit of God, by being under our own control. We just hate that. It's terrible. So we pray, Lord, you teach us and help us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.